We on the on air? Got it. I'm so used to seeing Josh back there, Barnett, and I see, but not him. It's good to be with you guys tonight. You know, last week we got together, we had gone through Malachi. Really love Malachi. I've grown to appreciate this teaching in many a way. Now, the name Malachi simply means what? Do you guys remember? If you don't, that's okay. My messenger. My messenger. Some would say the messenger. And I like it because it not only shows the one, my messenger, it shows all of the messengers. As we saw last week, John the Baptist, that without name, John the Baptist was one. Malachi was one. And of course, Jesus is the message, so he is that one. We talked about the intertestamental period from when the Old Testament stopped to where the New Testament started. There was 400 years. We talked about roughly 20 generations or 18 of your grandchildren, great times, however many. We talked about how long a time that is. I mean, you take today, at this time, we're in 2024, coming up on 2025, right? You take 40 years off, or 400 years off of that. That's a long time back. That would have been the last time you would have heard from God. Obviously, we can't live 20 generations long, but you would not have had new news that's being spoken to the prophets. You wouldn't have had any new stuff coming down the pike. You were left with where he left off, right? So it's a lot like, in a microcosm, it's a lot like when we talk about how sometimes it's really hard when we don't hear from God. You know, if sin is in the way, he's going to block. Well, Dave, I don't sin. Well, maybe you have anger. Maybe you have a gossip. Maybe you're misspending money or not reading your time with the Lord or prayer or fellowship. Some of these things can get in your way, blocking out. God, well, can you imagine a whole life like that? And it's a hurtful thing to sense. I will tell you, I'm closing in on a year without my personal read in the Bible. I know what that's like firsthand, you know, to not have that personal everyday time, just he and I in the Word. Why have I been doing this year? Because I sense the Lord caused me to do that. Next year, what happens is screens go bye-bye, word comes in, and worship of him for the entire year. So those little funny things that we send to each other, I won't be responding or watching them. I want to have that time with the Lord. I don't know where he's going with this. And, you know, there was a movie a few years back called A Year of Living Dangerously. It was about the Vietnam War, I believe, if I remember right. And a person trying to get out before the communists had taken over. And I think of this year for me as a year of living dangerously. I know my sister-in-law, Carmen, was talking about as we went to my brother-in-law's funeral here in the last couple of months. She said, David, you're not in the Word, but you're still working. I says, every time. During that whole time, I would see you walking over and talking to people about Jesus. You need to understand, when we go on vacation, if we ever go on vacation together, I probably won't see much of you. Do you know why? Because I'm sharing what God's put for me for people. I'm out of my everyday and in a unique element. Vacations to me are mission trips. I hope they are for you. If you're gone and not speaking to folks, you know, you may just ask God for the opportunity to open that up for you. You know, and even today, like going through the day, we're doing Operation Christmas Child, so we have people coming through. It could be each other, you know. Hey, man, where do you want to be sharing the Lord again? Well, I haven't heard from you in a while. How long's a while? It's been a couple of days. Well, don't fret. Leave off with what he told you last, right? Whatever he left you with, do that and the other things, but do that most important. I think we brought up the understanding is, do you need to be taught how to take your shoes off and untie them and tie them? Do you need that? Do you need to be taught how to wash your clothes or pick up after yourself or brush your teeth, right? Do you need to be taught any of that stuff? You already know that. Is that right, or am I just kind of speaking to me? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So if you know that that's how to do that, you don't need to be told a lot. You operate in the Spirit every day, and you practice that every single day. Dave, why do you talk about that so often? Because that's how I live my life. And that's how we are to live our lives. If you were of the tribe, meaning the 12 disciples, you would have left everything in your house behind. You would have handed your keys to your car or your motorcycle to someone else. You would have left everything behind and went and followed him. Everywhere he went, you went. Everything he ate, you ate. Everywhere you go, I'll go. Everywhere you stay, I'll stay. Every word you say, I'll say. Well, that's what it's like, Holy Spirit living inside, right? I don't like not having this time of reading. I was listening to one of the shorts the other day that came across my YouTube feed, and it was talking about somebody, how do you read the Bible from the beginning? And I just listened to that 30 seconds. I started weeping because I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to show me how to read again. You're going to have to show me that falling in love with you again, you know, because there's a hardness or a crustiness that has foundational currently. Doesn't mean that I don't love the Lord. It doesn't mean I've fallen out of concert with him. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that distancing from him. I've been asking the Lord, are you going to have me write a booklet on this or not? You know, there's a lot of things that we've had an opportunity to write on or not. The multiple deaths, how to help others get through the layers of this or not. You know, it's whatever he wants, whenever he wants it, as he wants it. All I know is January 1 at 12:01 a.m. when everybody's watching the ball drop or kissing their girl or kissing their dog, whatever it is, you know, I'm going to be, love you, Mary, cracking that Genesis out, you know, because I'm going to start from the start. And I'm going to tell you right now, I will weep myself to bed that night. I can hardly wait. And it's not here yet, so I'm not going to focus on it. One thing my father taught me, I said, Dad, do you ever, when you're taking these long road trips, do you ever worry about, you know, you're not home yet? He said, I don't think about it until the last half hour before I get there. Best equipping for times like that. Tonight, we're not there yet. We're going to read some other stuff, but it's going to be Malachi 3 and 4 as we close this out. Stick 'em up. Stick 'em up is the name of the title. You know, I love being able to see this quiet. I don't know what it's like because I don't hear from a prophet that has been inspired by the Lord to speak to us, being inflated by the Lord to speak out his word, his goodness, his kindness. But the people did. That's all they had with the Lord is they went through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 generations, full lives, until they heard from him. That is such a weight, you know. And when we ended with Malachi 3:1, this is kind of, these are the last things that he's saying. Right? He's talking in the beginning about the challenges we face with not falling under his authority. And look here, when he finishes off, he says this in Malachi 3:1 NLT. He says, look, and there's an exclamation point. Stop. Look, meaning listen, meaning pay attention. Wipe yourself out of this. Look, I am sending my messenger. I am sending Malachi. And he will prepare the way before me. I am sending John the Baptist, and he will prepare the way before me. Who's speaking here? Isn't he preparing the way for Jesus? But this is God speaking to Malachi to convey to us, convey to the people at the tail end of the OT. I love that I see a bit of the Trinity or the Binity, if you will, just he and Jesus. He will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple. Isn't that great? We're seeking the Lord all of these years from Adam forth to this point. And here we've been seeking him. And these are the words he's leaving with us to echo through the 20 generations circa that. the messenger of the covenant, whom you're looking for so eagerly, is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's army. Now look, he says, you've been searching. There's an eagerness. Man, I just want him to come. Many would come, want him to come and wipe out the Romans. We may say, I want him to wipe out the oppression of government or big business or just whatever it might be. But look, you've been so eagerly, may I have that back when you get a minute, so eagerly looking for him. But watch this. The whom you've been looking for so eagerly, look at this, is surely coming. Meaning, don't lose hope, says the authority, the Lord of heaven's army. In Luke 1, we may have this on the board for you. In Luke 1, we'll just read this chapter. Many people have set out to write the accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. So get this. When you see the Luke writing this to the most excellent Theophilus, he is saying, we got this exact information from people who were there and saw that day. These guys did some work here tonight, Operation Christmas Child. I was not here. I don't know what happened here. I don't know any stories or within the fellowship. Where would I go to get that information? From the people that were here. Pardon? Eyewitness, get right to him. verse 3, having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, get it in a nice orderly fashion. I also have decided to write you what? An accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus. I have a friend who has a Gmail address that says, are you Theophilus? Are you? Because we don't know who he is, so it's just a little Doug Gascon for some of you that don't know. So you can be certain of the truth of everything that you were taught. So you can be certain, because evidently Theophilus said, I want to know that I know that I know that I know that I know. Or he wouldn't have told him this. Again, in 4, so you can be certain of the truth of everything that you were taught. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth. He was also a priestly line of Aaron. So we have two Levitical lines here, priest on priest. Priest mama, priest daddy. Priest husband, priest wife. Priest groom, priest bride in the line of, right? Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes. So when he saw them complete. Jesus is not on the scene. He sees them righteous in his own eyes, not through the lens of Christ. Careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. I want you to think about that. Now, there can be some checkoff on this if we go down the checkbox Christianity, but they so cared, because that's what they had. They so cared about all the details of their walk with the Lord. I want to encourage you to begin caring about the details of walking in the Holy Spirit again. Think about what your motives are. Think about, why am I wired this way? Why am I thinking these thoughts or taking a thought captive to bury it because it's errant or whatever? They had no children. They had time to invest in their life with the Lord, right? They had no children because Elizabeth was just unable to conceive. And they were both very old. Now, you need to understand old. In this time, 50 years was your cutoff as a pastor or a priest. So very old could be in their 40s. So you guys that are there or a breath older, you're so old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. So here he is at the end of his tenure. He finally comes in from his country ways. He comes in and is able to burn the incense. He's going through the routine. He's getting the honor. He's getting this ability to do so. The nativity story really tells this scene, probably the best I've ever seen it, if you ever have watched that show. I know for Mary and I, we watch that annually, the Nativity story. Have you seen it? It's a picture of, there's only like three or four sentences talking about the journey of her husband and Jesus and Mary on the donkey, right, Joseph? And so they had to do a lot of fill-in, and I think they did a pretty decent job, but they really got it nailed down with this Zechariah piece. He was chosen by Lot to enter the sanctuary and burn incense. What a high honor it would have been. It would have been, his wife would have been so proud of him, you would see. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside and praying. So it would be like somebody coming in here and do something ritualistic, and then there was a massive group of people just outside these doors that are praying. I can't remember who the preacher was, but he had a prayer team in below him. And when he felt the Holy Spirit was leaving, he would stomp on the floor and had the people down below to pray even more. You know, I love that. You know, I don't know about you, but whenever I'm seeing somebody teaching or worshiping, my demeanor may not look it. Maybe I should have that posture, but I am praying like nobody's business because of the weight one carries when they deliver the message. You know, whether you're delivering it to your children or somebody else, there's a weightedness that goes with that. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Intertestamental period has come to an end. 400 years has come to an end. Nobody, no priest, all these generations of priests lighting tens of thousands of incense unto the Lord, all of that is now coming to the first time being spoken, and it's right here. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar, right? Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. Have you guys ever encountered an angel? You see, many a times people will drop to their knee and they'll worship that angel. I understand why people could do that. We're seeing something that's outside the natural for us. I know they call that the supernatural, but in my world, since there is all of that angelic host doing work, some bad, most good, that is part of our existence. That is the natural. When you're walking with the Holy Spirit, that is the natural. But he sees this thing and quakes. 400 years, nada. And here he is right before him. I will tell you, I had a guy that, I don't know if he's pastoring anymore. He used to teach over at Pastor Tom's church. He went back to Connecticut. Anyway, he made an argument. He says, I don't know how anybody can say they wouldn't fall to their knees anytime they saw an angel. Well, I will tell you something. There's scripture that says, caution how you treat everyone because you may be entertaining angels unaware. That's happened to me firsthand. I'll brief the story. It's now a Walmart at 104th and Grant. Before, it was a place called Biggs. It was a hypermarket. When you go into Walmart, there's these two big arches, right? One on the north, one on the south. It was the south. I had just gotten home from doing a late nighter in cable TV, had to do some work. And I came home and I was just jonesing for one of their sandwiches. They really made a great rye sandwich, layered up the way I liked it. And I told Mary, I said, I'm going to run down there real quick. I had some coins in my pocket. And I went down to get a sandwich, right? And I said, I heard this, excuse me, sir. And I looked to my left, which would be to the south. And here's this guy that's about my height, reddish curly hair, kind of a reddish color curly hair, brass rimmed glasses, and kind of an orangish black man, you know, a light skin, but had more of an orangish tone to him. Not bright orange, just beautiful color, bronze color, as some would say. And he says, hi, my name is Brian. And I was like, oh, that's my middle name, but I don't tell that to anybody, right, at this time. Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. And he says, I'm with a youth group and my bus broke down. Do you have any money? And I looked back there where he was pointing. I didn't see a bus. I said, well, he probably walked a little ways because, you know, Golden Corral is just on the south of that. And beyond that still is Sam's Club. Nothing that I could see because it's dark. You understand there's only four cars in the parking lot. One of them's mine and his isn't there. And I can see at that time going out to Grant Drive, there is no Wells Fargo. None of that stuff was built on the other side. And he and I said, yeah. I said, he said, could I get some money to help us get going? Yeah, sure. And so I said, do you mind if I keep a little back for my sandwich? I'll give you what I got, but I'm going in for a sandwich. And he said, that's okay. And so I said, it's okay, I'll pray for you. Lay hands on you? Sure. So I put my hand on his right shoulder. He was right there. I felt him, just like that. Nice man. Gave him a hug when we were done. I turn away and walk away, and here's a couple right over here. Probably 20 feet, no, maybe 15 feet from me. Husband here, wife here. She's looking at me, freaking out. She starts to move behind her husband. She's kind of panicked. I'm over here, and I said, here's your money, man. God bless you, man. I hope that all works out. One, two, oh, Brian, wait a minute. I had a checkbook. I was going to give him the rest of my money and just write a check for the. He's gone. Now, these people have already scurried on down, and I can see them walking around. There's nothing around him at all. There's nobody there. Nobody. And I was like, Lord, you sent me an angel unaware. I was like, man, I'm so bummed, Lord. I didn't have that money, but had I not given him all the, if I give him all the money, I may not have turned back around because that part's done, move on to the next thing, right? But you know what really got me was this gal that was quaking in her coat with her little hoodie and the thing. She was shaking. She was unnerved. Why? Because there's this guy standing in there with his hand on nobody to her view. And I'm talking to him, and I said, all right, man, this is great. She sees me having a conversation with nobody, and I'm hugging this guy. She's seeing me hug this guy, and nobody's there. Why would she be quaking? Huh? Yeehaw, right? And I know what that looks like. I work downtown, and when I work downtown, we used to have a guy, his name was Bob, and he'd walk around with his little cup of coffee, and he would talk to a tree, and he'd go up to that tree, and he'd say, oh, good little tree. And he'd whack that tree, and blah, 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 blah. Then he petted her. I remember I had another manager. She came down, and we were meeting for lunch, and I said, we're going to, and here I see Bobby. He's walking down Colfax, and or the street north of Colfax, and he's walking this way, and I said, all right, Robin, don't worry. I said, but this guy's going to, he's going to talk to the tree real nice, and he's going to smack it, and then he's going to groom it again. She was just like, she did the same thing because he's on this. She moved behind me, you know. I came home. I was so excited. I got my sandwich. You know, I had to use my coins. And I got home, and I told Mary, I was like, you're not going to believe what had just happened to me. You're not going to believe this. It was so cool. And she understood. She understood that there's only four cars, and one of them's mine. All the way out to the parking lot. Go out there some night. There's so many lights and so much other activity going on, you know. But you think you can see something from here to the other side of the city barn if it was lighted up and only open parking lot? How would you feel if you came into that situation? I wasn't afraid at all. I didn't bow down and worship. I mean, the guy was already gone, you know. Now, if he'd have come in and went, I don't know if there's feathers or not. You know, I don't think there's feathers. It's probably the brilliance of light. But I don't know how I would have been if Gabriel or Michael came. I wouldn't know what that would be like. You know, thankfully we have scripture to give us evidence of that. But, you know, we don't worship the angels ever, right? They're God's messengers for us. They're here to help us dole out the things of the Lord. He was shaken in verse 12. He was overwhelmed, right, with the fear that when he saw him. But the angel said, don't be afraid. Why did he say that? Because he was afraid. Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, who's old like you are, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. There's an argument for life because birth means breathing oxygen. So that child at first conception, seed puncturing egg, filled with the Holy Spirit at that point. Do you know, have you seen the camera work, the micro camera work when a seed enters an egg? Have you seen the flash that happens when that happens? Have you seen that yet? oh my gosh, you got to see that. There's a brilliant flash that happens when those two come together, life and its origins. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn, listen, many Israelites to the Lord their God. That's his role. That's the purpose he has for him. He will be a man with the power, spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn their hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Wow. You're the herald for that one. He's coming. That's his job. This is what he's telling Zechariah as he's trembling, right? Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I am an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Do you see the humanity that we can anchor with sometimes? We can get so caught up in only what we know instead of doing things that are peculiar to man's eye. Now, I understand the lifelong, at least marriage-long, lament of being able to not have the children. I truly understand that. And I don't know what his comportment was. Was he questioning this in an innocent way, or there was a defiance in his heart? Who knows? How can I be sure this will happen? Dude, you haven't heard from God in 400 years and you're getting your first acknowledgement. I will tell you right now, if that happens to you in whatever way that God is speaking to you and you know it's God, you may want to just shut up, listen, and go do. Just shut up, listen, and go do. All right, in verse 19, then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God." You understand? He is showing him that he is right there, more than likely at his right hand. "It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. I am bringing you a message." Here's the Twitter version of what God has for you. "But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary was wondering why he was taking so long. And when he did finally come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. He couldn't say nothing. They didn't have anything to type and send a text. He's just motioning with a language that he doesn't even have. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. He still stayed there and did his work in silence. He had to pay the penalty for his disbelief. Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." This was their crown for women in the day. And I would argue that there is still a bit of a crown today. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee. Can you dig this? I mean, this is the angel. He gets the honor of letting people know you're going to be the herald, and here you're going to have the Son of the Most High. He gets to deliver that news to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. So we got more royalty here. We got a couple of Levitical lines over here, and we got royalty here. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." I love how he brings this understanding right to her face. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Do not be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Can we stop for a half second? If the Holy Spirit just, and even speaking to you as early as this moment, told you, chill out, you found favor with the Lord. Do you understand the comfort that's happening right there? "You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Do you understand? The kingdom that you are saved unto will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. Same question mark, right? But I think hers is more innocent because how does this, the physicality doesn't make sense to me. How will this work? It was a question. It was not an objection. It kind of tells me Zechariah may have been an objection, not a question. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in the sixth month. She conceived a son and is in the sixth month. You see where conception starts? At the light brilliant of seed entering egg. For the word of God will never fail. What's the word of God? The words he just gave. The words we're receiving is his words. Do you understand? These quotations are him. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. No argument. You want it done? Do it. Is that your life? Is that your life? Or are you Mary or are you Zechariah? Because I will tell you, Elizabeth was so very pleased to have that child. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit is here even before he was released after Jesus left. The Spirit has always been here. It's in the acknowledgement or the engagement of the Holy Spirit's purpose with humans after Christ left is what we look to. But let me tell you something. I don't know if she felt the Holy Spirit before this or not. It's unclear. But I will tell you this, that just hearing Mary's name, you don't think those kids can't hear you arguing? You don't think those kids can't hear all your noise coming through your screens and whatnot? You don't think that's not affected? But I'll tell you this, that child from the flash of the egg seeding the getting seeded by the spermatozoid into the egg in that flash of life, Holy Spirit right there. Holy Spirit sperm, Holy Spirit egg, Holy Spirit connection. And that child had the Holy Spirit from day one. And when that child, because the Holy Spirit was filled in him, recognized that the Savior is there, that child leapt. And that mom had a pouring out of the Holy Spirit that she hadn't had, at least in this consideration. Leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't like, oh, that's cute. I felt this little heel. Filled, presence of God, holy of holies, same as Zechariah. Elizabeth gave a cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord, who gave that to her? Holy Spirit. The mother of my Lord should visit me. And when I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb leapt for jump for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he had said. She hadn't had this conversation yet. But she must have accepted it, or she in the Holy Spirit, letting her know that the Lord of the Lords is there. I love this. I love this song of praise. Mary responded, oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of this, of his lowly servant girl. Listen, she's the low of the lows. She's from nowhere to the world's view. You understand that if you go in and speak to some political or some religious fullness, some person, and you come from this body of Christ and go speak, you would be considered lowly of lowlies. But God sees you as worthy of worthies. He took notice of this lowly servant girl. She's expressing praise and honor and adoration. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Happy, joyful, because the Lord did this. I am telling you, I thank the Lord for this willingness of this heart of this child. 13, 14 years old, whatever she may have been. For the Mighty One is holy, and He has done great things for me. He shows me mercy from generation to generation to all who fear Him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down the princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, and He sent the rich away with empty hands. My thing is this, when I see this, I want to pray for the empty-handed ones so they'll come to know the Lord, right? He has helped His servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. He has made this promise to our ancestor, to Abram and his children forever. Where is your exalted praise in life? How is it expressed? Are you in your room, Lord, and exalting Him for something that He has done? We're not competing in this. This is what she has said, knowing she sires the King of Kings, knowing not where it's going to go. She doesn't know about the cross yet. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and went back to her home. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives had heard the Lord had been merciful to her, everyone rejoiced. Elizabeth's going to have a baby with her. In 59, when the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision. Does this baby have a name yet? No. They want to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth says, no, his name is John. Zechariah, she's been quiet. She's been listening to a quiet husband for 9 months and 8 days, right? She had total peace, right? And he's over here letting her know, probably through tablet, that name of that child's going to be son. She recognized because she saw the smiting of the angel Gabriel. No, his name is John. What? They exclaimed. There's no one in all of your family by that name. So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted of him. Why didn't you just write it down? He could hear. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." Instantly, he could speak again, and he began praising God. I love the restoration. God didn't leave him hanging. He's not going to leave you hanging if you fouled. And he began praising God because he knew that he was wrong. He carried the penance of solitude and quietness and humility and not being able to speak to his wife about all the cool things that are happening with the baby filled with the Holy Spirit. And all she would say, do you feel the Spirit? Mm-mm. There's no vocal. Awe fell upon the whole neighborhood. Awe, what a beautiful word for God. And the news of what had happened spread through the Judean hills. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, what will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord is surely on him in a special way. Then his father, Zechariah, was what? Filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. True prophecies here. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has visited and redeemed His people. He has sent a mighty Savior from the royal line of His servant David. So who's He talking about? Christ. Just as He promised through His holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies. They're thinking Rome. And from all who hate us. All the Ishmaelians and others. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering His sacred covenant, one that has been set apart. He followed through with what He said He was going to do. The covenant He swore an oath with our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear. Do you understand what He's saying? We have been rescued. We have been redeemed. Now we can serve God without anything holding us back. It's not like, oh, now we can go out and buy another car, Dave, grab another motorcycle, put that little doohickey on XYZ. No, He's come that we can go ahead and serve Him to the full, raising our children, raising our family's children. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve without fear in holiness and righteousness. For as long as we live, we're no longer bound. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will be, you will prepare the way of the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sin. Son, you are going to be the herald of the Most High. Do you see the feeling of that father? He's been smite with tongue. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and is in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. John grew up, became strong in the spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry. How do you get strong in the spirit? By practicing it. He was filled. What do I mean, practice? And aren't you in the spirit and filled? Yeah, but you know what? It says don't quench the Holy Spirit. That's like taking a garden hose and pinching it in two, or shutting the light switch off. You know, it's shutting it off from our perspective. We have to leave ourselves open to whatever he has for us to do constantly. And I mean constantly. This is the message that they were left with in Malachi 3:1. Now we'll finish. Again in Malachi 3:1, and then we'll jump into the rest of it. Look, I'm sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. You just heard Luke 1, yes? This is now what Malachi is speaking about. We went out and talked about it. Now we're going to go back and look forward. Look, I'm sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to the temple. The messenger of who the covenant whom you look for so eagerly is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's army, encouraging them for the 400-year drought. This continued. But who will be able to endure it until he comes? Who will be able to stand and face him when he appears? For he will be like a blazing fire that refines metal, and like a strong soap that bleaches clothes. Who's he talking about? Who's going to be able to handle this? He says, the messenger says. You know, Christ right here. He's talking about Christ right here that we already know. Dave, why do you get so excited about this? Because I get so excited about this. Because he said it was going to happen. He said, look for this. My messenger, Malachi, says, look for the messenger of the dude that's the Most High, that's going to free us from everything. And now, can we feel that sense of where is he? Where is he? Where is he? He's here. Where is he now? Where is he now? He's there. When's he coming? When's he coming? It's the same feeling. It's all of that. He will sit like a refiner of silver, burning away the dross. You guys remember how that works? Put the metal in, dross floats off, scrapes it off, right? He will purify the Levites, refining them like gold and silver, so they may once again offer acceptable sacrifices. Because last week, we talked about the impure sacrifices. We talked about what we're bringing that's tainted to the table, priest and congregant alike. We're all a priesthood of believers, so we fall in that camp. So they may want, he's coming so that they'll no longer do these sacrifices from before, from now on, they'll be righteous sacrifices. Then once more, the Lord will accept the offerings brought to him by the people of Judah and Jerusalem, as he did in the past. Do you understand? There's many a time when we wake our day that we're not coming into that day with a righteous of offering to him. Even in the evening, which is the hardest time to stay awake, which in the Jewish tradition is the beginning of the day. So welcome to your new day. Your old day just finished at sundown. You're welcome. This is the time that we focus to. The work for the day has been done. This time of night is our strongest time of night. And now, what offerings do I have for you in this new day? Lord, let me think this through, because I have the reference from the yesterday in my mind, because it's evening now. Light has gone down, darkness has overcome, and the light is coming. Lord, tonight, let me examine where the impurity of my gift has been. as I go to sleep, let me be that man of faith. Let me be that woman of faith in my dreams as I am in my wake. I have to tell you, this time that I've been away from reading the Word with regularity, my dreams have not been great. They haven't been. But you know what I'm starting to see? And it's only happened this week. I'm starting to see the visions again. I'm starting to see the holiness of God again. And I'm seeing Him in my dreams. It's so refreshing because it's been a long road thus far. Not as long as this, but long for me. And the people of Judah and Jerusalem, as he did in the past. Verse 5. And at that time I will put you on trial. I'm eager to witness against all sorcerers and adulterers and liars. I speak against those who cheat their employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, or who deprive the foreigners living among you justice. Does that sound like today? Do we have foreigners living among us? And all we want to do is boot everybody? Where's that justice? For these people do not fear me, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. These that steal and rob and take and not care about justice, but just us. In verse 6, I am the Lord, and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not destroyed. Leave, please. I want you to memorize this first line that's part of it. I am the Lord, and I do not change. I am the Lord. And the Lord, he shifted. I am the Lord, I do not change. The Lord hasn't listened to me. I am the Lord, I do not change. I feel like I'm in a different stage of my life. I am the Lord, I do not change. Death has befallen me. I've had challenges at work. I've lost money. I've lost friends. I've lost family to death. I'm the Lord, and I do not change. Ever since the days in 7, your ancestors who you have scorned my decrees and have failed to obey them, now return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of Heaven's army. Do you understand when we talk about being 250,000 steps a month, 300,000 steps a month, and you walk years or months or whatever away, one step gets it back. He says, return to me. He didn't say return to the steps away from me. Return to me and I will return to you. If you are fledgling, return to him and he will return to you. If you're ministering to somebody, they return to him. They never knew him. They were created by him. Return to him and I'll return to you. But ask, how can we return when we have never gone away? They think of the geography of it, not the heart-mind part of it. Should people cheat God? Yes, you have cheated me. But how, you ask? You have loved money more than me. You don't see it as a tool of worship. You see it as a tool of comeuppance. But how, you ask, what do you mean? When did we cheat you? You have cheated me of tithes and offerings due to... Due to who? Him, right? He says me, and it means him. You're not cheating outposts, you're cheating him. Stick him up. How do I rob God? You're under a curse. You're living the absence of a blessing. For your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Only place that you're allowed to put God to the test. You know, we're talking about having a couple of guys that are going to be the doge. They're going in, the doggy, whatever you want to call it, that team that's supposed to be looking at our accounting, right? They're going to go clear up the accounting. We'll see. Many presidents have done it before. We'll see what it comes from it. But they're supposed to, it's Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. You know that? You know that's what they're doing, right? Everybody on that same page? They're going in, they're going to do the accounting, they're going to post it, they're going to have broadcasts about it, they're going to talk about it openly so you can see where the money is spent poorly. And the hopes are is to put the money back in your pocket. I'm like, Lord, if they knew this, this country would be beyond wealthy in the sense of where their heart and their notions are with the money they got. So you have another, because I did the math. If they drop $2 trillion off the budget, you understand that's going to be about $6,000, $7,000 coming your way. What happens with that? Can you imagine if the country got the vision of understanding and got away from the moorings of capitalism played out poorly? Capitalism, socialism, I'll take capitalism to play out not poorly, capitalism. Try me in this. Put me to the test in verse 11. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they're ripe. That means they'll be healthy. They'll be strong, says the Lord of Heaven's army. Then all the nation will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, and that says the Lord of Heaven's army. You've said terrible things about me, the Lord says the Lord. But you say, what do you mean? What have we said against you? You have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord of Heaven's armies that we are sorry for our sins? From now on, we will call the blessed, the arrogant, blessed, for those who do evil get rich. Oh, we're back to money again. And those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. Whoa. Verse 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said in his presence, a scroll of remembrance. Do you know what that is? A lettering was taken down. A book was written. A scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. He's writing down this Lamb's Book of Life, in a sense, if you will. They will be my people, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. On the day when I act in judgment, they will be my own special treasure. I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see the difference between righteous and the wicked, of those who serve God and those who do not. I love that they made a scroll of this. It's God's word. He's writing down their names. He's written down your names as we close out. Guys, you got to remember, don't let fatigue of the day cause you to not let this speak to your hearts. Don't let the fatigue of the day cause you not to ask of the Lord, Father, fill me out, pour me out, show me my iniquities unto you, and cause me a new day that's more serving of you. The last few chapters in 4. The Lord of Heaven's army says, the day of judgment is coming, burning like a furnace. On that day, the arrogant and the wicked will be burned up like straw. They will be consumed, roots, branches, and all. Everything that anchors them will be gone. For you who fear my name, the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves led out to a pasture. On the day when I act, you will tread upon the wicked as if they were dust under your feet, says the Lord of Heaven's army. I don't want to worship that. I don't want to worship dust. Remember to obey the law of Moses, my servant, and the decrees and regulations that I gave him on Mount Sinai. This is the closing words. Remember to do these things. Remember all that the prophet said. Remember all that the writings were written. Look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. JTB. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. We have the choices. They had the choices. They had 400 years to hear this. And so much goes on in there. You know the hearts of man. We all have them. Lastly, I love how the Lord has shown the challenges, and he's very firm in it. But he's also shown the restoration, and he's very firm in that. He's given us that path. Make sure that you don't get too proud about your election or too sad about your election, depending on what side of the fence you're on, because none of that stuff matters. Just go read Daniel 2:21, because the ones he puts up, he takes down. And the ones he takes down, he'll put others up. So you guys that are long in the tooth, that means old, you know that we've seen these things go all sorts of ways. If that is your God, you have fallen to dust. We are praying for revival in this country, and it is upon us. It's not coming. It's here now, and you are a part of that. And it starts in your prayers. It starts in your dedication unto the Lord. It starts in your action. Whatever the Holy Spirit causes you to do, you're seeing things in the Word. You're seeing things from old and current in the sense of this timeline, him coming. And now you're living in Acts 29. There is no Acts 29. You're it. You're living these days of Elijah. You're living the days of completion and fullness. You don't think every little box that comes through here matters? They got their cute little toys in there and all the above. That's great. That gives them the sense of somebody cares. But when they read that book about Christ and his salvation, they're going to know somebody cares. There's a physical representation of these little items in the box, but there is a spiritual component that will speak to these children. And by the way, the ones that need to hear it most is not those kids far and away. It's the adults and down here in this country. Amen.